You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Many are criticising the new requirements of the parent category visa as discriminatory and favouring the rich. The previous government closed the category entirely in 2016. However, this week it was announced that the category will reopen in February next year, with some changes. These include capping the number of visas a year to 1,000 and increasing the financial requirements of the migrant child who must sponsor their parents. While previously a migrant worker would only have to prove an annual income of $65,000 for one parent, this has increased to just over $100,000 to sponsor one parent and just under $160,000 for two parents. Or if you're looking to combine your and your partner's income, that would become $160,000 for one parent and over $210,000 for two parents. These numbers are all based on the median income of $53,000. Immigration Minister Ian Lees-Galloway says the high salary threshold is to help to attract high-skilled migrants to New Zealand. I spoke to tax barrister Dave Anant, who began by dispelling the myth that all migrant parents are interested in permanent residency.
Not everything about immigration is about permanent residency, and this is why I think the policy makers and the government need to think carefully outside the box. What are they trying to do at this stage? Are they saying if you don't earn, 159 or between 150 or $200,000 between husband and wife or spouse, you're not eligible to bring your parents here? Now, I think there's a myth in all this, Roman, with respect. It's parents who want to come and visit here, or grandparents for the matter, visit their kids in New Zealand, should be entitled to come here, spend time with them, perhaps in a long-term visa. I can understand the opposition to this, that, hey, you know, I don't want the parents to be here because it takes money out of the tax system or national super, hospital benefits and etc. But that's not the issue, though. I don't think the parents are here to take advantage of our health system or our WINS benefit. I think the priority is to spend time with their kids.
Right, yeah, and there are such checks in place, even with this visa category, that the normal health checks that apply to immigrants still apply, and also you have to be in the country for 10 years before you will even be eligible for superannuation.
Exactly, and I think that's going to be increased to 20 years. So what I've been advocating and saying, hey, look, forget about residency, you know. Allow a 10 or 5-year or 3-year parent visa program with criteria, Bronwyn, you know, saying you need private insurance. Allow certain medical tests. So there are various things which I think the policyholders could think about outside the box. And what about people who have come to New Zealand, obtained residency because of marriage or partnership? Now, they're not skilled. Obviously, they've come under a different category. Now, are you telling them that, hey, their parents can come and live in New Zealand?
And what about, do you say to those people who, for example, might be able to afford to bring one parent but not both?
That's cruel. That's absolutely cruel. So what? You sponsor one, you bring one into New Zealand and leave the other one overseas? It is cruel. It just doesn't make sense.
Obviously, their reasons for imposing these higher salary amounts is to really emphasize attracting more skilled migrants. Well, what do you say to that?
I think, look at the salary, you know, 150 or 1,000. That's a senior professional salary. Now, to reach that level of salary, you are not a fresh graduate. Obviously, you would have between 5 to 10 years of real good experience overseas. You would naturally be in your early to mid-30s. And if you're an immigrant, most of them are married with families. You're targeting the rich and the migrants who've got money, but you're not considering that not everything is about permanent residency. That's the argument which I'm trying to make.
Any idea how many migrants who are currently making around that sort of wage bracket?
I'm told 10% of the 9,000 over applicants would qualify in that bracket, which means 90% would be rejected. And what's the options for them? There's no other options, Bronwyn. It's either you meet that criteria or you don't. Withdraw the application, the government refunds your fees, and then you've got a situation where you've got very unhappy working migrants in the community. And is that what the government is encouraging? I think they need to look at outside the box rather than looking at permanent residency all the time.
You talked about 9,000. Is that how many outstanding expression of interest applications there are currently?
I think there's quite a few thousand anyway.
And so 10% of that, I mean, we'd be looking at around 900, which the new cap level is 1,000 a year. What do you think about that number?
I think it's not hard to say that we won't even achieve, come near that figure in terms of 1,000. I don't think with the current economic climate in New Zealand, not many would be in that age bracket where, you know, both spouses earn more than 100 grand a year. And the other thing I want to emphasize, Bowman, is also this. For the parents to come to New Zealand, there might be various reasons. A lot of them have single children working in New Zealand. Some would want to help the kids out because of a newborn child or a sick child, which is encouraging because that means if the parents are here for a period of time, then it allows women to go back to the labor force, and that's a positive thing. And if there's insurance involved, that's a positive thing because then you'll have a New Zealand local company providing health insurance to this parent.
Would some people think it a little bit sort of unfair or discriminatory to deny these people, however, public health care? Because that's something that we pride ourselves on, right?
Yeah, I understand that. But I also understand the taxpayer whose argument is, hey, we've got a health system which is bursting at the seams. So I think to address that argument, I think a lot of people I know have private health insurance for their parents overseas as well. So it's not something new. It's something I think we should consider, considering the access to the public health system now it's bursting as it seems.
So you've spoken at length about how permanent residency is not necessarily the only solution. So what do you think the government should have done?
What I think they should have done is, that's fine, okay, look, you've got to earn $200,000 or $150,000 to be considered for residency, but for those who don't qualify, you've got these options. You can bring your parents here for 5 years, provided you meet this criteria. I've even advocated a bond of some sort because there has been report of abuse of parents by the kids, taking advantage of them while they work and things like that. So I said, look, why don't you collect a $5,000 bond, which is held by New Zealand Immigration. If unfortunately something happens, use that money to send the parents back, something like that. But nothing, absolutely nothing. It's a bourgeoisie policy. It's for the rich, elitist policy. That's really strange coming from the Labour Party. You should be allowed to think outside the box, put your thinking cap on and say, bring them here, but we're not going to give you residency. They don't qualify for WINS benefit. However, they can stay with you, provided they meet this criteria. And I think if that happens, it is a win-win situation. And you're going to have a lot of happy immigrant family in New Zealand.
Winston Peters says these changes are precisely what New Zealand First had pushed for in coalition negotiations. Meanwhile, Green Party MP Golariz Gariman says if the Greens had it their way, they would get rid of the requirements altogether.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.